You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Yeah, like the dude just said. And by the way, on the News Talk powerhouse in North Alabama, this is considered to be one of the biggest shows in North Alabama right now across the afternoons. And we thank you because that is your doing right there. That's this audience. That's a bunch of Right Side ruffians tuning in. And making this a show that literally right now we're seeing stats that say somewhere in the neighborhood of 6,500 people or more per week are listening, 22,000 downloaded on the podcast, and the rankings are showing that this is the top afternoon show for the afternoons. Blessings on y'all. Thank you so much. You're the reason why that is, and I do not take that for granted. Hey, Kelsey, grab the microphone there real quick. Let me talk to you real quick. Grab the microphone. Kelsey.
I'm here.
All right, there you are. So do we have I know we have some technical difficulties trying to get him on. Is Cameron on, or is he going to be dialing in? Which one do we know right now?
Cameron is connected.
He is? Do I have a Cameron Smith on the line with me right now?
The one
patch him
only.
In. Cameron Smith, how you doing, bud?
I'm great, Phil. What's going on?
I'm sitting here just hoping that we were going to get you connected. And by the way, that's not the usually way that I would introduce somebody. So let me just go ahead and say, folks, Cameron Smith, a longtime friend, also used to work at the Alabama Policy Institute. Like I am still affiliated. He spent a great deal of time in D.C. and also in Alabama, writes for the AL.com and is still doing communications work. How's that? Is that better, Cameron? Did I catch a little bit of that?
You can say whatever you want, man. I am a political junkie who has a lot of opinions, so let's go with that.
Well, which is a perfect day for that. So, yeah, when I was thinking about doing the first part of my three rounds I do on the show, I call it the triple dipper, I thought, all right, D.C. is the biggest chunk of what I'm doing for the first hour. I'm calling Cameron. So here you are. Yesterday was a day. And I've spent the last half hour kind of unpacking pieces of it. But give me your initial, like, one over the world quick view of what you saw in that press conference. How was it to you?
Yikes. I mean, that was rough. And I have always said I want the president of the United States, regardless of who it is, to succeed for America. And when Joe Biden is getting out there like that and talking about little incursions – and just kind of not really careful with his language, it was just kind of sloppy. And to have Jen Psaki come in after that and have to say, well, what he really meant was, that was embarrassing. That was really embarrassing.
It is.
And things like, well, the pre-pandemic, the grocery stocking rate was 91%, and now it's 89%. Well, President Biden, if that 11% happens to be toilet paper and there's none on the shelves, people really care about that. And so the realities just seem totally disconnected for him. And I it's not even almost fun to engage in sort of the like usual like political ribbing that happens between Democrats and Republicans, because that was just sad.
Well, it was, you know, and Biden has a long history of you never know what he's going to say. I mean, that goes back his entire political career. I mean, he's known for being gaffe prone. He's known for saying more than he should say. And he's also known for kind of rambling to his point, like almost like he has to say five things to get to the one thing, because he needs to tell a story or three about why his life when he was a child looked like that. And you know, just that kind of folksy style. But and a lot of times it doesn't pan out well. But I mean, I will give him props on this, and I said it earlier in the show, Cameron. At the very least, I mean, the man is 78 years old, and he stood there for basically 2 hours taking questions, not all of which were comfortable. So I'm props for that, although he probably could have saved himself some heartburn by doing a few of these along the way, and then he wouldn't have had to do 2 hours because he took 78 days to do the next one.
For a president not to be talented but in terms of speaking. Not every president is gifted that way, and Democrats and Republicans, I mean, we can go down the list of, man, this is a much better public speaker, much better press conference president, and just play to your strengths. So sitting up there for 2 hours, I appreciate his willingness to answer questions, but the level of the lack of precision, that when you're talking about a significant international conflict involving Russia, speculating about the motivations of Vladimir Putin is maybe, you know, not a winner for you. So maybe you should just kind of keep a lid on
it. Especially, and to back up and tell our folks what that piece was, because I've got, what's kind of neat is one of the best things that I found to help me prepare for today, because I do a ton of resourcing, is National Review. National Review did a blow-by-blow, almost like a tweet-by-tweet kind of thing, and basically everything he said, there's a segment. And so that particular piece, to refresh our audience here, I've talked about on the show before, Russia is massing 100,000 troops on the border with Ukraine. Potential conflict. The White House announced yesterday they believe that conflict is potentially imminent. He was asked, you know, what do we do if Putin invades? And his response was, here's the quote, "It's one thing if it's a minor incursion, but if they actually do what they're capable of doing, it's going to be a disaster." A minor incursion? I mean, his Secretary of State is on the way over there right now to have diplomatic talks to try and avoid any incursion. And he almost seemed to excuse the idea that you can have a minor, like you can take some troops across some of their sovereign border, but, you know, not too much. That was awful.
Right. It's like a little pregnant. It's not really a good reference to make. And then, I mean, I'm an 80s baby, and so I love the 80s, but this, like, well, actually, I think the real issue here is it's just tough on Vladimir Putin that the Cold War didn't work out as he'd like, and he really just wants the team back together. And I'm like, what? You're the president of the United States. You're talking about, like, Soviet nostalgia as a justification for incursions into a sovereign nation. And I don't know what he was thinking to just even bring that up. It's almost like, well, you've got to understand his perspective here. They lost the Cold War, and they didn't like that. And I just stared at I was watching on my computer screen, and I was, wow.
Yeah.
That was neat.
That was one of those moments when I watched the segment afterwards, and I thought, no, he didn't just say that, did he? But there it was. All right. Another thing he had in there, though, he was asked at one point, I mean, how tough is this? You're coming up on the 1 year anniversary of your first of your 4 years and of your term, basically the 1 year anniversary. And he literally is asked, are you going to run again? And will Kamala Harris be your running mate? And his response was, well, she's been doing a good job. And then he kind of blew right past it. I mean, your thoughts on that?
Well, if he's running or she's running, the chances for a Republican to win, wow, this is awful. I mean, the questions that he got right around that, which were, hey, you know, it seems like you're not very good at doing things legislatively. Tell us about that. I mean, he doesn't have anything to campaign on. Harris, you know, she was put in charge of the border. Remember that? And that's going well. He had even a Trump moment in this conference, which was hilarious, when they pointed out he didn't have any big wins. And he's like, I have big wins, bigger than any other president. And I'm like, I literally heard this from the last guy. Like, what are you doing? This is so weird. And, you know, here we are.
Yeah, let's measure. But no, just don't do that. All right, so then here's another one that really kind of got me. There was one moment where he flared up because, you know, there are times when Biden can't seem to control himself or contain himself, for that matter. And he got questioned on that god-awful speech he gave in Atlanta last week, the one on voting rights, where he compared all Republicans to segregationists, and he invoked everything bad about Alabama's history by claiming that if you don't agree with his position and vote for the voting rights, so-called Voting Rights Act, and the John Lewis Voting Freedom Bill, that you're nothing but Bull Connor, you're George Wallace standing in the door, you're Jefferson Davis, the president of the Confederacy. And then when he was questioned on that, he tried to crawfish, but he was yelling while he did it. I mean, that was a moment right there.
Yeah, well, I wrote a column on this because I thought his speech in Atlanta was a galvanizing moment where he basically proved he was. Remember, this is Joe Biden. He was coming in because he's the anti-Trump. So he was going to heal our land and reconcile our nation, and then literally says, Either you support our Democratic voting legislation or you're George Wallace, Bull Connor, or Jefferson Davis. You're an Alabama racist. And I mean, that's just that is the inflammatory, extreme language that we need to avoid. If Democrats didn't like that when Trump did that kind of stuff, to say Joe Biden's the better man, no, he's the same thing in just a different direction. And that drove me insane.
Yeah, it was one of those moments where I could not help but think, in my mind, I bet Jen Psaki hates her job. I bet she hates her job, and she has to go out and clean all this up now.
Well, it's more. I mean, clean up is around the edges, right? It's like, oh well, let's sort of rein that back in. And maybe it got a little excited, but to have to come out and say, well, what he really meant was something that he didn't say. I mean, that's not cleanup. That's like redoing it. And she's good at her job. I'll give her credit for that. But that is horrible to have to keep doing that. And then coming out with stuff after his Atlanta remarks and being like, well, comparing people to Alabama racist wasn't really a human comparison. Like, no one even knows what that means. And that's what we're getting from this administration.
Well, hey, Cameron, we got to run to a quick break. And you hang on through the break. I'd like to finish this up afterwards and take it down to the bottom of the hour. You good with that? All right. Cameron Smith on with us, folks. Spent a lot of time in and around politics. Kelsey, move us to a break, man. And when we get back from this one, we'll wrap up some more on the press conference from hell yesterday, where President Biden said a lot of stuff he shouldn't have. Some things he tried to say that didn't come out, and others that he just didn't get asked at all, which is amazing. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.